We've been teaching the boys and girls all about the true story of Ahab and Elijah. And we've been focusing really on the truth that there is only one God and there's only one way to God. Now, if we taught that in schools, you'd be asked to leave. And for many people in this congregation, outside of Knutsford, in Knutsford Town Centre, the truth that there's one God and there's only one way to God is hard to hear. You know, Christians get accused of being intolerant, even being extremists. But this morning, I want to ask you to be sympathetic. Now, why do I want to ask you to be sympathetic? Well, you see, as Christians, we think Jesus is pretty awesome. We want to live our lives in a way that pleases Jesus. And we want to follow Jesus' teachings because we believe that there's no other teachings greater than Jesus. So when I say be sympathetic because we say there's only one way to God, I mean it. Because Jesus Christ himself said in John chapter 14 verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if we're being Christian, we have to take these words seriously, which means that we reject all of the paths to God. We say that they are false paths. Now you might say that's being intolerant. I'll just simply say that's us being consistent with Jesus' teaching. So really do be sympathetic with us when we say that. Now, during the course of this week, we've heard about evil King Ahab, bad King Ahab. We've heard about ugly Queen Jezebel. She was ugly on the inside. And we heard about good Elijah. Now, we heard about Ahab. Ahab wanted to be so in control. Ahab wanted to stay so in control. So he followed a false god called Baal. Because Baal let you do anything that you wanted. So Ahab could stay so in control. And we saw in our drama that people who reject the one true God are foolish. Because the one true God is good and does good. And we came to the climatic part of Elijah and Ahab where they have this face-off on Mount Carmel. Elijah, the one prophet who stands for God, is taking on 450 prophets of Baal. And whichever God answers by fire, that is the true God. Now, rather than me tell you all about this scene again, I'm going to get my friends from What's in the Bible to tell me about this. So if you watch the screens here, they're going to tell you it for a couple of minutes.
Here is the story of Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal.
That sounds like a good one.
Yes, it's an amazing story. God was tired of his children worshiping Baal, and he wanted to show once and for all that he was the true God and that Baal was a fake. So he had Elijah challenge 450 of Queen Jezebel's prophets of Baal to a little contest.
Oh, I love contests. What kind was it? Pie eating? A potato sack race?
No. This was ancient Israel, not the county fair. Elijah had them build two altars. An altar was a pile of stones where they would burn a sacrifice for God, either grain or an animal they'd use for food. In this case, it was two bulls. They put wood on the altar for the fire and then the sacrifice on top of that. Usually now the priests would light the wood on fire to burn the sacrifice, but Elijah said, nope, we're not going to start the fires. Instead, all you prophets of Baal, call on Baal to light the fire, and I'll call on Israel's God. Whichever God lights the fire is the real God.
Well, this is going to get interesting.
Oh, yes, it was. Jezebel's prophets called on Baal all morning. They screamed and shouted. They jumped around. They even beat themselves up and cut themselves with swords to get Baal's attention. But nothing happened. After a few hours, Elijah started making fun of Baal. He said, maybe your God is asleep, or maybe he's in the bathroom.
Wait, he actually said, maybe your God is in the bathroom?
Different Bibles interpret this Hebrew phrase different ways, either as busy or as relieving himself, which means going to the bathroom.
This is my new favorite Bible story.
Oh, dear.
Did Baal ever show up?
Of course not. He's fake. Now it was Elijah's turn. Only to make God's power even more clear, he drenched his altar with water. The sacrifice, the wood, everything, all soaking wet.
Wait, how's God gonna light it on fire if it's all wet?
God can do anything, right?
Oh, right.
Then Elijah prayed and said, "Answer me, O Lord, so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God." And boom!
She scared me.
Boom! Fire came down from heaven. It burned up the sacrifice, burned up the wood, and even burned up the rocks and the water that was on the ground.
Whoa, I bet that got the people's attention.
It sure did. All the people fell on their faces and cried out, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!"
Great. So as we saw on the screen then, and as we heard in our reading today, Elijah prays that when the people see God's power, they have their hearts turned back. And that's an amazing prayer. Elijah is asking God to do something so epic that the people will turn back to God. Elijah wants God to answer his prayers so the people turn from their false gods and trust in the one true God. And did you know that's what we pray every Sunday will happen in this service? We want people to turn from their false gods that they're following and trust in the one true God. We want people to see how small and weak things like money, sports, family, food, holidays, education are compared to God. Now, that sentence might confuse you a little bit. Because of course, here at St. John's, we think money, sports, family, food, holidays, education, we think they're all good things. And we praise God for them because God's given them to us for us to enjoy. You see, the trouble comes is when we take those good things and we make them ultimate things in our life, when we make them more important than God. You see, when we do this, we're ultimately going to be disappointed because we're looking to those things to give us what they were never designed to give us. We look to these things to give us complete satisfaction, lasting peace, eternal security. Only God can do this. Only God can give us complete satisfaction, lasting peace, eternal security. And God can do all this because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we get hints of what Jesus has done through that battle with Ahab and Elijah. You don't believe me? How does Mount Carmel point to Jesus? Well, there's lots of ways. Firstly, we see Elijah is doing exactly what God wants him to do. On the cross, we have Jesus doing exactly what God wants him to do. On Mount Carmel, we have a sacrifice being made. On the cross, we see a sacrifice being made. God's own son, Jesus, for us. On Mount Carmel, we see God's victory over the prophets of Baal, proving that God is the one true God. At the cross and the resurrection, we see God's power over sin and death, proving that Jesus is God. And finally, on Mount Carmel, we see that these false gods will ultimately disappoint us. And if we're being honest, leave us looking foolish. Whereas on the cross, we see a God who forgives us when we fail and satisfies us when we receive Him. You see, Jesus Christ is the only way to God. The finished work of Jesus Christ is the only way that we have a relationship with God. There's no other way. Only Jesus' death for us takes our sin away. Now please don't kid yourself to think that if you live a morally upright life, then in some way that's going to twist God's arm. If you think like this, you actually don't understand God's holiness. It's a little bit like me saying I'm going to jump off the cliffs of Dover and I'm going to land in France. Two things are happening there. I'm either overestimating my jumping ability or I'm underestimating the distance between England and France. It's just ludicrous, isn't it? You see, the only hope any of us have to bridge the gap between ourselves and God is through the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, when we think about the cross, our reaction should be the same as the people at Mount Carmel. When they saw the power of God at work, they fell to their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." I wonder who or what, if we're being honest, do we confess as God? Are we a little bit like Ahab? Do we want to stay so in control of our own lives that we put ourselves on the throne where God should be? Is it sinful patterns of behavior, addictions that we're struggling with? Is that our God? Or is it those good things that we talked about before? Have we made them ultimate things? Are we looking to them to be our God? You see, the great news for the boys and girls we've been learning this week, and the great news for the older boys and girls today, is there's one true God, and His name is Jesus. Jesus is the God who sacrifices and serves. Jesus is the God who is powerful, yet personal. And Jesus is the God who loves and lifts up the lowly. Jesus is the one true God. Think about this question for the rest of the day. Who are you confessing as God? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that there is one true God and His name is Jesus. Thank you that through His death and resurrection, we can have life with you now and later in heaven. I pray for people here today who are struggling to confess Jesus as the one true God, that you would help them to turn away from those false gods that they're following and turn to Jesus. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.